Today with Joseph Prince.
When Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, the Father opened the heavens to him. I love the way the scripture says it, opened the heavens to him. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, you'll never know how much God loves you until you know how much God loves his Son. Because he gave his Son for you. Amen. So when Jesus came out, the Bible says, full of the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted, tested by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And one day I was reading that and the scales fell off my eyes. I never saw this before. Never heard anyone preach this. I saw this and it's like, whoa, the devil is constant in his approach. He came to Jesus saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Now, Jesus just heard the Father says, you are my beloved Son. The devil left out the word beloved. Like a flash I saw. If this is the devil's tactic, before he can make someone commit adultery, he needs to make the person feel unloved by the spouse. You know, he needs to bring, oh, God doesn't love you. And then you shun away from God. Amen. Anyone that preaches the belovedness of the believer is sent by God. Don't put your trust in something that waxes and wanes. Put your trust in the love of God for you. The love of Jesus. Amen. That is always a constant on the graph. Amen. And when you look at what is constant, I learned this years ago when I was in the Navy. Amen. In the sea, when it was storm tossed and all that. Sometimes my colleagues were throwing up and all that. And the officer came on board and said, guys, it's a simple trick. Look far away at the horizon, at what is fixed and constant. And soon enough, we all felt better. We'll be more stable. We'll be disciples of closest communion. And the Lord is able to use us. Amen. If we rely on his love for us. The one who leans on the Lord's love for him has the closest communion. And here's the heartbeat of God. When you lean on and you boast of the Lord's love for you, come on people, you will be of spiritual use to him. The Bible doesn't say husbands love your wife. It says husbands love your wife as Christ loves the church. If you have no revelation of how much Christ loves the church, how can you love your wife? Amen. So when we experience this vertical love, then can we give our horizontal love? We love because he first loved us. Now let me ask you this question. What is the sum total of the law? What's the greatest of all commandments? People think that, well, Jesus gave us that commandment. No. Jesus was asked the question. He had to answer. He was asked the question, Master, Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment of all? So don't forget, he was asked the question. Jesus said, you know the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord. Hear, O Israel. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Are you listening? Jesus says, upon this hang all the law and the prophets. These are the greatest commandments of all the commandments. How many can say amen? All right. Don't forget, he was asked the question. He had to answer when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He gave that as the greatest commandment. Right? So for 1,500 years, God put men under the law. Even David failed until Jesus came. God says, all right, love me. Love me with all you can. Love me with all your heart. Everyone failed. Nobody could keep that commandment. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. There was one that did it. And he walked by the shores of the Galilee. He's the only one. So after 1,500 years, God says, enough. Now I'm going to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And today we love because he first loved us. You know what is the definition of love? We say love is patient and kind. No, those are the characteristics of love. You know, there's a verse that says this is love. Look up here in 1 John 4 verse 10. It says, this is love. In this is love. Not that we love God. Stop. Now, isn't that the greatest commandment of all the commandments in the Old Testament? Come on, people. You can talk to me. It's okay. The greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, right? But John is saying, this is love, not that we love God. Now, either John has done us wrong by teaching us that, or John has a revelation that's beyond something that an average person under the law would understand. Not that we love God, the law, but that He loved us, grace. And that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Now, if we stay here all the way to the night, you will probably feel cold. You will increasingly get colder and colder. So if I tell you, stay in the sun, while the sun is still there, stay in the sun. Can you understand when I tell you, keep yourself in the love of God? Yeah. A lot of people have this idea, keep yourself in the love for God. But in the book of Jude, look up here, it says, keep yourself in the love of God for you. Be conscious of the love of God for you. Amen. There was a disciple, I mentioned just now, John wrote that, this is love, because he should know better. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And many years ago, I thought when I heard that preach, that John knew something that none of us knew, because Jesus loved him in a special way compared to all the rest. I said, Lord, I want to be the disciple whom Jesus loved. Give me your secret, Lord. And the Lord said to me, it only appears in John's own gospel. So what was John doing? It's like, the other day I spent time with Samuel Smudger, Brother Samuel, Brother Matt Crouch, and I go home and I write in my diary, which no one has anymore, and I said, last night, Brother Samuel, Brother Matt, and the brother whom Jesus loved met for coffee. Now, how many know that Jesus loves them just the same? Come on. But Jesus loved all the 12. But John knew it. John practiced it. John was conscious of it. And John calls himself, especially in the closing scenes of our Lord's life, the disciple whom Jesus loved 5 times. That's a number of grace. Amen. The 5th time Noah's name was mentioned, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The 5th time Ruth's name was mentioned, she told Naomi, her mother-in-law, I'll go into the fields and I'll glean in the eyes of him in whose sight I will find grace. The 5th time. Number 5 is a number of grace. In Hebrew, the letters in Hebrew, by the way, just let you know, in the letters, there are no numbers in Hebrew. Aleph, the letter Aleph, the first letter, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. The first letter is actually a number. So when they want to give a number, they put the letter Aleph, number 1, Bet, number 2, Gimel, number 3, Dalet, number 4. Hey, I just said it. Hey. Is number 5. I said, hey, is number 5. And God's name is Yud Hey Vav Hey. Right? In the closing scenes of our Lord's life, the 12 were there in the upper room. And John, you know, in those days they would recline. They would recline as they eat. Their legs are behind. That's why the woman brought, you know, she was weeping behind on his feet as he was eating. Remember the woman came and she wiped his feet with her hair because their legs were beyond them at the back. They were reclining like this as they ate. So John was at his right hand. John leaned back. And John 13 says, that's the first time he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus just said, one of you will betray me. Disciples look at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. There's a picture of resting in the Lord's love for him. See, people, when you lean on Jesus' bosom, you're not leaning on your own. It is not your love to the Lord. You are resting on His love to you. His love for you. There was leaning. Now, what was the question? The question was what? Jesus just said, one of you shall betray me. Then they look at one another. People, we will never, never get answers for our difficulties and problems in life looking at one another. So what happened is that there was laying on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Don't forget, John is writing this. Simon Peter therefore motioned to John to ask Jesus who it was of whom he spoke. Then, watch this. Leaning back on Jesus' breast, John said to him, Lord, who is it? Next verse. Jesus told him who it was. John was the only one who knew who was the betrayer. First lesson we learn is this. The one who leans on the Lord's love for him has the closest communion. and hears the heartbeat of God. Now, Peter, on the other hand, he is set there as a contrast to John. Because Peter boasts of his love for the Lord. He's the man that boasts of his love for the Lord. When the Lord said, all of you, all right, I'm going to tell you this, that I'll go to persecution, I'm going to die and all that. Peter says, Lord, this will never happen to you. And he said right in front of all the rest of his disciples, his friend, even if all this forsake you, he said it right in front of their faces. If all this forsake you, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go to prison and to death. And Jesus says, this morning before the rooster crows, you'll deny knowing me 3 times. No way, Lord. It was way. He denied knowing the Lord 3 times with cursing and swearing. He promised he would stand for the Lord even to prison and to death. He can't even stand in a few hours' time in front of a mate that said, aren't you one of him? A simple question of a mate. Why? Because don't misunderstand me. His love for the Lord is true. His love for the Lord is an ardent love. It's a genuine love. But the problem is that he's leaning on his love to the Lord. Whereas John typifies by his words and actions, Peter was in essence saying, I am the one who loves the Lord. But John, by his actions and by his words, he is indicating, I am the one whom Jesus loves. When all is said and done, and Jesus was at the cross, who was the only disciple, besides the women, who was the only disciple that was there? John. Where is Peter? Where is Peter? Some corner somewhere. Where is the man that relied on his love for the Lord? Genuine love nonetheless. Come on. That night, there was Peter who boasts of his love for the Lord. John boasts of the Lord's love for him. And there was someone who had no love for the Lord. He had the bag and the devil in his heart. Now he hung. He committed suicide. If only he waited a few more hours, Jesus would hang for him. Self-righteousness is a very deep thing. It's very hard for us to notice that in our lives. And I'll tell you one thing. Sin is a problem. Joseph Prince hates sin. Let it be established right, categorically. I, Joseph Prince, am vehemently against sin. But I tell you the problem that people have, not being able to receive, is self-righteousness. The fact sinners could receive from Jesus. Prostitutes could touch him and be healed. Tax collectors could receive from him. But those who are self-righteous cannot receive from him. They are fallen from grace. Grace is high ground for you to fall from. Are you listening, people? And when Jesus looked down, Jesus saw at that cross, Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son and behold your mother. In other words, when you lean on and you boast of the Lord's love for you, come on, people, you will be of spiritual use to him. He will use you. And what timely service too. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Is anyone getting excited with me here? Come on. Amen. Don't boast of your love, even though it's wonderful. Your love, if I can put on the graph, my love also, amen. It goes like this. On Sunday, praise God, hallelujah. And during the tour, whoa! Right? And after the tour, it goes down again. Amen. Don't put your trust in something that waxes and wanes. Put your trust in the love of God for you. The love of Jesus. Amen. That is always a constant on the graph. Amen. And when you look at what is constant, I learned this years ago when I was in the Navy. Amen. In the sea, when it was a storm toss and all that. Sometimes my colleagues were throwing up and all that. And the officer came on board and said, guys, it's a simple trick. Look far away at the horizon, at what is fixed and constant. And soon enough, we all felt better. We'll be more stable. We'll be disciples of closest communion. And the Lord is able to use us. Amen. If we rely on his love for us. You know, not too far away from here. In fact, we are here where we are at the southern tip. And the River Jordan comes out from here. Right? Goes all the way down, 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 down to the lowest place of planet Earth. The Dead Sea. And that's by the way, the genuine site of Jesus' baptism. Have you all been there? That's why you need to come back again. One trip won't cut it. There are so many places to look at. So the genuine site has been discovered, Betbara, and that's the lowest place on planet Earth. That's where the Dead Sea goes right, the River Jordan goes into the Dead Sea. Now there, when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, the Father opened the heavens to him. I love the way the scripture says it, opened the heavens to him. And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You see, you'll never know how much God loves you until you know how much God loves his Son. Because he gave his Son for you. Amen. So when Jesus came out, the Bible says, full of the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted, tested by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And one day I was reading that and the scales fell off my eyes. I never saw this before. Never heard anyone preach this. I saw this and it's like, whoa, the devil is constant in his approach. He came to Jesus saying, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Now, Jesus just heard the Father says, you are my beloved Son. The devil left out the word beloved. Like a flash I saw. If this is the devil's tactic, before he can make someone commit adultery, he needs to make the person feel unloved by the spouse. You know, he needs to bring, oh, God doesn't love you. And then you shun away from God. Amen. Anyone that preaches the belovedness of the believer is sent by God. The Father opening the heavens to affirm his Son, saying, this is, you are my beloved Son. Twice the Father did it, and audibly too. The other one is just down here. You go straight, right? You'll see the tallest mountain in Israel, Mount Hermon. All right, on a clear day, your guide will show you the snow peak mountain of Hermon, which I believe is the scene of the transfiguration. All right, now it towers just like the Dead Sea is 1400 where Jesus was baptized and the Father affirmed him the first time. The Father openly said, this is my beloved Son. That's the lowest place on planet Earth, 1400 feet below sea level. But Mount Hermon, you can see Mount Hermon there? Mount Hermon is about more than 9,000 feet rising into the air. It's the tallest peak in all Israel. And one day I was watching this and I was reading this and I realized all of a sudden the lowest place on planet Earth, the highest place in Israel, in both places the Father calls him beloved for our children. Come on. All right, not just the high spots, but when they have achieved something, let's affirm them. Let's call them, you're the one that I love. Amen. Even in their lowest point, that's the time when they fail you, go to them and say, I still love you. You are precious to me. And do that with your husband and wife as well. See, the Bible doesn't say husbands love your wife. It doesn't say that. It says husbands love your wife as Christ loves the church. If you have no revelation of how much Christ loves the church, how can you love your wife? Amen. So when we experience this vertical love, then can we give our horizontal love? We love because he first loved us. Amen. After Jesus rose from the dead, 2 weeks after that, the disciples were here. Somewhere over there, St. Peter's Primacy, you have to go there. All right, whatever it takes, tell the guide, you got to go there. All right, St. Peter's Primacy. I love that spot. Sometimes I'll just come there just for an hour or so, and my leaders and I will just break out, and I just meditate. Because that's the place that morning when Jesus walked by after he's been resurrected for 2 weeks. He rose from the dead already 2 weeks. He passed by and the disciples were fishing all night and caught nothing. Remember that? Yeah. John 21. By the way, I must tell you this. In the account of Luke, when Peter denied the third time, Jesus was bound like this. All right. And Peter was out there in the court. All right. And the Bible says when Peter denied the third time and the rooster crowed, Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. It was almost as if he's saying, Peter, I told you, but I still love you. And that's what broke his heart. The law cannot break. Words written on stone cannot break a man's heart. But love love will. Amen. And he went on and wept bitterly. Well now, John 21, Jesus rose from the dead and they've been toiling all night. They caught nothing. Watch this now. The Bible says, Jesus walked by and says, "Hey children, do you have any food?" And they said, "None." They didn't recognize it was him. And the Bible says one of the disciples knew who it was. Who was it? Watch this. John 21. "Cast the net on the right side," Jesus said. "You'll find some." Now they cast. They were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I love it. All night caught nothing. When Jesus tells you to do something, watch it. Results. Net breaking, boat sinking results. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said, 'It is the Lord.'" The one who is the quickest, who has the quickest perception, is the one who is resting on the Lord's love for him. The disciple whom Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And Peter jumped into the water to go to Jesus. Peter came to the Lord, and the Lord made breakfast. What a beautiful picture. The resurrected Jesus did a very commonplace thing, making breakfast. And then they all came with all their fishes. Peter was there already, sat around. After they ate, I love this. The Bible says, after they had dined, then the Lord asked. You know, sometimes before you bring up the tough questions, let them eat first. Leaders and pastors, the Lord believes in feeding you before he requires things from you. Don't beat, feed. So he fed them. And then he says, "Peter, let's go for a walk." And that's the place you must go to, St. Peter's Primacy. Just by the, all right, I don't know, Peter got the credit, but actually it's John who had the revelation. Okay, so it's called St. Peter's Primacy, and he walked with Jesus, and Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me more than all this?" Remember he said, "If all this should forsake you, I, Peter, will never leave you. But where you go, I'll follow, even to prison, to the death, y'all. Bring it on." Amen. Relied on his love. True, genuine love nonetheless. And then the Lord said, "Do you love me more than all this?" And Jesus used the word agapeo, which is the highest form of love, self-sacrificial love. "Do you love me, agape, love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I filio you." Filio is, I like you. Peter is now humbled. He realized it's not his love. It is the Lord's love. Say, "Lord, you know that I only like you." And the Lord says, "Feed my lambs." And they walk further and Jesus says, "Peter, do you agapao me?" And Peter says, "Lord, I only like you. Filio. At the level of like," Jesus says, "shepherd my sheep. At first feed my lambs, the younger ones, shepherd my sheep." Then Jesus asked the final time. Now Jesus came to Peter's level finally. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you filio me? Do you like me?" Peter says, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I only filio you." He's learned his lesson. It is not his love for the Lord. It is the Lord's love for him. Amen. Friend, he loves you. He loves you so much. He gave his life on the cross for you. And now God is saying, you cannot rely on your love for him, but rest in his love for you. And friend, if you're watching this, wherever you may be, you might be alone, or you might be incarcerated, or you might be in a hotel room. First and foremost, no matter how unclean or how dirty you think you are, God loves you. God loves you. And just like what he did with the leper, what he did with that woman, the issue of blood, he has come. His holiness is a holiness that can be approached. Amen. Because he loves you. And he will touch you. Just one touch. And you'll be cleansed. You'll be forgiven. Every head bowed. And just let's pray this prayer. If you're watching this, I'm going to encourage you to put your trust in Christ. Because Christianity begins with D-O-N-E. Not D-O. And say this. Say this after me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Altogether lovely. I believe you died on the cross for all my sins. And I believe you rose from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. Now and forever, thank you, Lord. I am the disciple, that Christian, that believer that you love. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen and amen. Give him praise. Hallelujah.
Hi, I'm Joseph Prince, and I'll be your personal guide helping you discover the land of Israel. My brand new book, Expedition Promised Land, Walk Where Jesus Walked. Through this book, I take you on a 10-day visual journey to discover Israel as if I were your personal guide. We'll explore the region of Galilee, where our Lord Jesus calmed the storms, multiplied the loaves and fishes. We'll also be visiting the old city of Jerusalem, where his passion took place and where the early church was born. There's just something about being in Israel. The Bible comes alive in a special and intimate way. Everything about it, its rich history and culture, its topography and its landscape. Everywhere you turn and in everything you look at, the rocks, the trees, the ancient practices are pictures of our Lord Jesus and what he has done for us at the cross. As we explore Israel together through this book, my prayer is that you will see a living Savior in this ancient land. Join me to encounter Jesus in a deep and personal way through the pages of this book, and your life will never be the same.
Get your copy today. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org/newbook today.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.